I guess in terms of the picture of the nation and the research that you've been gathering and work the work you're doing, are there any comparisons between the major cities in terms of are any cities doing the like this adaptation and me implementing measures better? And are there any examples overseas that you would draw our attention to?
I would say that unfortunately, there is no Australian city that's doing a good job on this front. And I think one of the key reasons that is because we haven't started really considering rising temperatures in our planning and built environment systems. Some areas are doing it better. There's some plans and strategies coming out of Queensland, New South Wales, a bit out of Victoria, different places saying, okay, we've got to manage extreme heat, but fundamentally, like what our point of view is saying that everything we build from now on has to be firstly, help us fit within the net zero carbon emissions 2050 deadline, like at the very latest. And secondly, it has to be safe in a future climate. And those, like for me, for lots of people, that's a pretty common sense measure. That's pretty common sense, something to aim for, because unless we're doing that, we're going to have to expensively retrofit things for the coming decades. And that will push out even more, being able to achieve both those measures. And so I would say that there's some good signs coming like around the country. I would say no places really kicking a lot of goals so far. What we really welcome is last year, the federal government announced the National Health and Climate Strategy. And that strategy is about, how we can respond to the health stress of climate change, how we can, reduce carbon emissions in our health sector, lots of different things. But one of the things it mentioned is putting health in every policy. So at the moment, we've got the health impacts of rising temperatures and climate change. And over here, you've got government policies that are actually helping create that risk, through, not putting cooling in the, NDIS or the rental minimum standards, things like that. And so by putting health in every policy, hopefully we can, ask every department, every agency, every decision maker to say, what is your department doing to reduce the risk of climate change and of extreme heat and of rising temperatures in your work? And that will be really important.
Thanks, Emma. And I guess I would ask you as one of my last questions. In terms of I guess the main approach of sweltering cities has been looking to leadership and calling on them. Are there any tips that you might give for people who are living in a hot home? Maybe three tips that they should do during a heat wave or to prepare for a heat wave.
I think one of the number one things, if you are concerned about a coming heat wave, is to contact friends or family or someone who you can keep in touch with during that time and say, if it's yourself that you're concerned about, or you're like people living in your home, just make contact with someone to say, hey, it's going to get really hot this weekend. I'm feeling pretty worried about how hot the house is going to get. Can we keep in touch? Or if you have a family member or a friend who lives in a hot home or might be at risk, reach out to them before the heat wave and say, hey, it's going to be pretty hot. I'm just checking in on, if there's anything, like if you're going to be okay. And creating that, system of communication can be something that really helps us, build that community. That's something that's really important. I think that, have a plan, be prepared, make sure that, you've got the food, the essentials, you're not going out in hot parts of the day, and that you're thinking, well, if I've got to, be surviving a heat wave for these 3 days, that's really important. So yeah, like have a heat wave plan. And the last thing is to try and, as the temperature rises throughout the day, in the morning, close up your house, pull down the blinds, make sure you're trying to stop hot air getting into your house so it stays cool for as long as possible. And if I could sneak in a final number four recommendation, it's stay hydrated. Drink a glass of water every hour, even if you don't feel that thirsty. You need to be drinking a glass of water at any temperature every hour. So, yeah, those four recommendations are keep in touch with people, have a heat wave plan, make sure, you're closing up the house, being as energy efficient as possible, and make sure you're drinking water.
Thanks, Emma. Yeah, they're really good tips. And I think I guess what you mentioned before about the way that we've ended up in, I guess, the situation is across government, there's not that much consultation with people with lived experience. So it's fantastic that, you're collaborating with Dana. How can people find out more about your organization, Sweltering Cities?
Thank you. Yeah, our organization, you can find it at www.swelteringcities.org, or if you search Sweltering Cities on any social media platform, you'll be able to find us. Working with people who've got lived experience is one of the most important things. It's a core value of our organization. And that's because we know that people with lived experience are the experts, not just of how they're impacted, but in the solutions, the most effective solutions to all of these issues. So that's why we've been doing these big summer surveys each year, asking people how they're feeling the heat and asking people what we should do. And we're really excited that in the coming weeks, we're going to be releasing those results. So please follow us on social media. You can sign up to our email list on our website. And thanks very much.
No worries. So you've been hearing from Emma Bacon from Sweltering Cities. Thank you so much for joining me, Emma.
Thanks so much for having me.
No worries.
You are listening to the Only Human podcast. Only Human is a weekly program on social justice, disability rights, psychology, social research, and mental wellness. You can listen in Brisbane on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM and Z Digital on DAB Plus radios. Love community media? You can support 4ZZZ by subscribing or making a donation at 4ZZZFM.org.au.